With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello. Before we start this episode of the MMA Fan Podcast, we need to tell you about our sponsor, Free Train. Free Train do these fantastic running vests for you to run in, hit the bag in, and they keep your phone close to your chest. No more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket when you run or at an awkward angle on your arm. You can keep it on your chest with easy access to your phone whenever you go training. And what can the people do, Stu, if they want to get a vest?
Simple. Head over to www.freetrain.com. Have a look. See what you like. And when you pop it in the basket, just before you check out, pop in the code MMA Fan, save yourself 10%. I mean, don't ever let it be said we don't spoil you here on this podcast. www.freetrain.com. Go check them out.
Excellent stuff. Right, on with the show.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we've got another sponsor to tell you about. Feel Supreme. They're a nationally recognised brand who offer only the very highest quality of natural supplements. Their extensive range includes a range of medicinal mushrooms, nootropics, anti-aging products, gut support products, green powders, vitamins, and much more.
Yep, they've worked with fighters from all the top promotions, including UFC, Bellator, Brave, and Cage Warriors, with a solid reputation of providing results. So check them out on Instagram, which is at feel_supreme. Or their website, www.feelsupreme.co.uk, and make sure you use the code MMAFAN for a cool 15% off your first order. Don't say we don't spoil you. Hello, and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am Blake Harrison, and joining me as ever is my co-host, the man in front of the brick wall, the man with the glorious salt and pepper beard. It's Stu Whiffin. Hello, mate.
I mean, that was lovely. I mean, I don't know. Was that complimentary?
I don't know. I just say what I see, don't I? Like, it's just, you know, So it's like catchphrase. Say what you see. You're in front of a brick wall. You've got a salt and pepper beard. That's it. Catchphrase. The well-known catchphrase, the man in front of the brick wall. How you doing?
I'm all right. I am very excited about UFC Fight Night, September the 4th. Are you?
I'm very excited. Obviously, if people don't know, this is one of our special, what was supposed to be the London card episodes of the show, where we're talking to the amazing UK fighters that are on what was supposed to be a card at the O2 in London on September 4th. But unfortunately, due to COVID and all that jazz, it's been moved over to Vegas, over at the Apex. So unfortunately, there's no live MMA or UFC in London on September 4th. But those same UK fighters are going over to Vegas, and it is going to be on BT Sport at a very favourable hour for the UK. I don't know the exact times, but it's going to be, you know, prime time UK time, which is at least a nice gesture from the UFC, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of those fighters heading over to Vegas, Jack Shaw.
Yes, the tank.
And it was again another returning guest, and it was lovely to catch up with Jack. And this is a lovely episode where we talked about his thoughts on how it was when he heard that the car was being moved and how that can affect the financials and how that can be more costly, having to move your camp to the States. And we talk about that. We obviously talk about his opponent. What else do we discuss on this one?
We got onto a little bit of MMA judging, because we did discuss a little bit of the bantamweight division, and particularly the old Sandhagen-Dillashaw fight, which is a few weeks ago now, but it's still in people's minds. It was, I wouldn't say there was any kind of sense of like a robbery, or a controversial decision is even maybe a strong term, but I definitely think Sandhagen won that fight. A lot of people, I'd say most people, agree with that. But TJ won the fight, and that's that. And we've seen some weird judging in MMA over the years, really. So we got onto that a little bit, and Jack had a few thoughts on what he thinks could potentially improve it. But at the end of the day, he's focused on his opponent, which is Saeed Nurmagomedov, on September 4th. Shall we get on with this?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Jack Shaw. Jack Shaw, such a pleasure to have you on the show. How's it going?
I'm very good, thank you, boys. All good. That's a warm welcome, as warm a welcome I'm ever going to have.
Oh, with the arms wide
good
open.
Good to have you back, mate.
That's what we like to see. Now, I can't help but notice there's a little mark under your left eye there. Yeah, how's things going? You all right?
Yeah, it's all good. That was courtesy of Josh Reed. I went on Monday sparring. So I think he glanced me with them 10-year-old gloves he got on. His 10-year-old arm gloves. So, it looks worse than what it is, honestly. It's not a cut, right? It's just a little graze. But I'm sure I'll never live it down, especially now it's live on camera as well. You'll let me know about that one every time.
Oh, nice. Well, glad you still got a smile on your face. Now, I mean, the reason we're obviously here is because we've got the big card on September 4th. Loads of UK fighters on that card, yourself being one of the biggest. And you're fighting Saeed Nurmagomedov. I have to be honest with you, Jack. When I heard the name Nurmagomedov, I got a little bit concerned. I was a little bit worried. I thought maybe it was a little bit squeaky bum time. But I did a little bit of research and I found that he's not a relative of Khabib's. I think they do have a relationship. They know each other a bit, but he's not a relative. I suppose you probably wouldn't have cared either way whether he was a relative of Khabib, would you?
Well, even if he was, who better to fight a relative than Khabib than the Welsh Khabib? So,
absolutely.
But yeah, he's not. No, I don't think they know each other. But I don't think. I keep saying to everyone, I think Nurmagomedov in Dagestan is the equivalent to something like Jones in Wales. So names don't always mean you're related.
Oh, brilliant. How's training going, Jack?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a real tough camp in terms of training. We've upped the volume. The gym now obviously is back open as normal. My father's gone part-time to work, so we're getting daytime sessions in now with the pro team. So this morning now we just come straight from sparring. So it's good. It's all coming together nicely. I've had a real good push and real good sparring partners in. Feeling ready, feeling good to go.
Brilliant,
excellent,
mate. And doing my armchair research that I'm getting known for doing now. I've found out, Saeed Nurmagomedov is incredibly different to when we think of like that kind of Nurmagomedov, Dagestan, Russian fighter. He's probably more akin to Zabit. You know, he's a bit more rangy. He throws a lot of spinning attacks. Have you had to bring in kind of specialist training partners or anything like that to mimic that kind of style? Or were you kind of set? Is it not necessarily anything you've not seen before?
It's not so much. Like, I've sparred those type of guys before and everything. I'm quite fortunate. I've got some real good strikers in the camp. Scotty Pedersen, who's just fought on Cage Warriors, is a real decorated striker, and he's a very similar shape to Saeed. So he's been doing a lot of spinning attacks, and I gotta be fair to the boys that they've really sort of sacrificed their training and their rounds in order to be specific for me. You know, attacking me with the spinning back fist, the spinning back kicks, looking for the flashy kicks. And that's the beauty of obviously having a big team like we go with. There's a lot of strength and depth, but I haven't so much had to pull in guys from outside. I've been able to sort of pick guys from within the team and say, look, can you give me this look? Can you give me that look? And it's worked, like Scotty, Levi, those type of guys. Just they've been really good. I'm really thankful to them for this camp, because they've, apart from obviously training for their fights a few weeks back, they've just done what me and the coaches have asked of them in terms of, look, just go out and fight them like this. Don't want you looking for takedowns. Don't want you shelling up. We want you spinning. We want you being aggressive. So it's been a real big help to me, and obviously a big thanks to them for sacrificing their own training in order to get me ready.
How was it when you found out that the show wasn't going to be in the UK, and how does that impact on camp, Jack?
It's a little bit disappointing, to be honest. It would have been nice to fight in London, to show the UFC the fan base I've got in Wales and the UK. I think I would have had a big ovation up there. I would have took a lot of fans up there. So it would have been nice to show them that I've got a good bit of pull over you. Obviously, it got moved to Vegas. So in terms of changing the camp, we've got to go a little bit earlier. We've got to get acclimatised. I've got to take training partners with me that can carry on sort of for the 10 days before mimicking the style. But it's still business as usual. Obviously, it would have been great to have the fans there. But when we get in there and obviously the door shuts and the ref says, let's go, then it's just a task at hand then. So as great as it would have been to have my friends and family and supporters there, I've ultimately still got to do the same goal against the same guy. So we still go in there with the same approach and the same mindset.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on, Blake.
No, you go, mate.
I was just saying to Blake earlier when we was talking about this, like the thought of it being in London and having fighters like yourself and Paddy making his debut as well, the noise from like the followings that you fighters have got would have been phenomenal. And it is such a shame. You know, I'm sure it'll happen further down the line, but, you know, I think a lot of our hearts sort of sunk when we found out that London card was being moved. But it's on UK time on the TV, which is great, which means we all still get to see it and don't have to set the alarms for 3 a.m.
The pubs will be busy in Wales at least anyway.
Damn right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was gutted for you guys. I was gutted for us. We were getting a hope to try and go. I mean, it must be so difficult for you guys from an emotional standpoint when you're getting ready for a certain thing to happen and the support that you're expecting to have and all of that. But one thing that I suppose has only really just occurred to me is it something when a card shifts from, you know, effectively geographically, particularly compared to America, London, is this kind of, you could say it was down the road. I know it's not down the road, but, you know, it's a short trip in the car. Then going to Vegas, does that impact you fighters financially, because you're going from, oh, everyone can just come down to London and would you hop in the car, or oh, now I might have to fly a couple of sparring partners or something like that out with me. Does it impact you financially?
Yeah. To be honest, it's a big hit financially, because obviously I've got to fly, whereas in London I would just take my free cornerman. Also, we'd go up in the car and cover the petrol, stuff like that. Now I've got to fly two of the three out. I've got to obviously pay for an extra hotel room for fight week, because we're going early to acclimatise. I've got to sort of cover the hotel rooms there, and then obviously got the wonderful Vegas state tax that they nail you with before you get, obviously in the UK you don't get nailed with that, because we're British and we're fighting over in America. You get nailed with the tax over there before you even get paid. So it is a big, like, it's a, don't get me wrong, it's still a nice little earn, but it cost me a lot more to fight in Vegas. Or it doesn't cost me as such, but I make a lot, well, not a lot less, but I make less fighting in Vegas, obviously, than I would have if I fought in London, in terms of expenses as far as getting the team out there, but also in terms of purse because of the tax as well. So, you know, people don't think of that. Like, everyone says to me, oh, you're so lucky going to Vegas to fight. I'm like, but I'm not going there for it all. I'm going there to fight. So when I'm out there, I'm going to be training twice a day, cutting weight, you know. I'm not knowing all these restaurants, eating the burgers and the pizzas that you see, you know, on the TV in America. I'm eating the PI food, and then obviously it's going to cost me as well. So I'm not I'm not moaning like I've gone hard by any means. You know, I still get paid well and stuff like that. But it'd be a lot better for me to fight in the UK financially as well.
I mean, looking at the, can you make a silver lining? Do you get to stay out there a little bit longer and enjoy Vegas, or do you have to come straight back?
We're back home on a Sunday morning. So,
oh no! You can't even enjoy
the only good thing, obviously, like because it's UK time. Like, even if I'm on the main card, I sort of will be done by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'm assuming because COVID protocols are sort of gone now in Vegas, that we'll be able to go to the strip and have a little look about and grab some food. Like, obviously, last time I fought 9 o'clock in the morning, but we had to spend the whole day in the hotel room because we're flying home Sunday morning. And if you left the hotel Saturday night, you wouldn't be allowed back in. So it would have been a case of going straight through and then coming home Sunday and traveling for 24 hours. And that wouldn't have been much of a crack either, I don't think. So fingers crossed, we get to see a little bit more of it this time, even if it is only for a few hours.
Well, I can't imagine it would go as badly as it did for Paul Craig. He was on our show a little while ago, and I can't remember if he was in, like, Florida or if he was in Vegas, but I'm pretty sure he said it was a big night of drinking and he got chucked out of a limo because he was just in a bit of a state. So I'm sure you'll be a bit better off than Paul Craig was.
Fingers crossed. My the good thing is my old man and Carl, my two corner men, and obviously, and not much... I'm not big drinkers anyway, so they're not keen to party. But I am taking my teammate Levi, who's a young gun. So I don't know. Maybe me and him will wander off on our own for a few hours, and we'll see what happens.
Lovely stuff.
I mean, if you want to have a party, you're going to the right place. I mean, how do you see the fight going, Jack?
Yeah, look, he's a tricky style guy. He's got these spinning attacks. He's not a guy where you can just think, right, I'll rush in and take him down. Obviously, being from Dagestan, he's going to have that wrestling background, even if his speciality is striking. So it's been a real tactical approach from the team in terms of game plan. It's just about, in my opinion, keeping good fundamentals and having me dictate the fight, dictate the range. You know, I've either got to be in or got to be out. You stand at mid-range, you're sort of in the firing line for those spinning attacks. So I've got to fight him on my terms. I can't let him get his game going. I've seen his fights, obviously, in the UFC. The guys who sort of fought him at his game have got punished for it. And the guys like Barcelos who enforced his sort of game plan done very well. So it's a matter of going out there and stamping my foot down early and saying, look, we're going to fight this how I want to fight it, or you want to fight it.
Yeah.
Do you spend much time sort of watching tapes of your opponents, Jack?
I tend to leave it to my coaches mainly. I will obviously watch when I get given the name, and I'll watch it a little bit closer to the fight. But this one, when you fight someone like this guy, because he's so unorthodox and so tricky, you got to watch that a little bit more, because there's certain things they do that 9 out of 10 guys, one is not going to throw at you. Do you know what I mean? Like when I fought Hunter, you know he's coming with the big looping punches and he's going to try and take you down. And a lot of guys are like that. You fight a good striker, a lot of them are very fundamentally strong. Whereas this guy, like you said, is spinning back fist from him close, is spinning back kick, spinning wheel kick, flying knees, jumping kick. So this is stuff that you're not always going to be used to in sparring, and obviously not going to have. I have never got a lot of experience against fighting someone like this, apart from maybe Von Lee. So we've had to watch a little bit more of this one, but I do tend to leave it to my coaches and let them pick up his strengths and weaknesses, devise the plan, and I'll just be like a robot when I'm in there and follow suit. What they say is what I'll try and do.
So,
with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You, because at that Barcelos fight that you mentioned, it was a very close fight. It was by no means a walkover. So there's not necessarily yet like an exact kind of like blueprint of like, this is how you beat Said Nurmagomedov. But are you saying that you were able to take moments from that fight and go, I can implement that? He seems to struggle a bit with that.
Yeah, definitely. He's great at mid-range, but I noticed when, without giving too much away, obviously.
We don't want you to give any game plans away or anything like that.
Barcelos, like, come forward, put him on the back foot, cut him off. It neutralizes those big movements. You know, you can't spin and kick someone when they stood this far from your face. And I thought Barcelos did a good job of mixing in the clinch work. And although he didn't nail too many takedowns, when he did clinch up, you know, he used his weight, made him burn a little bit. So there's things I noticed that he did well. There's also a guy, that the karate kid as well, at flyweight. I know he won that fight, but that was a close fight. And again, although his karate style is a lot different than mine, I can't remember the guy's name who fought him. It was his first fight in the UFC, I think. But although his style is a lot different than mine, there were certain things he did as well that I picked up on. So again, I'm a different fighter at the moment. I'm a different fighter to Barcelos, but there's certain things I think that I can implement that he's gonna struggle with.
So you get the win, and I think, and well, Blake and I have done an episode on that specifically. We think, you know, you're arguably in the most exciting division right now in the UFC. And so I just wouldn't mind getting your thoughts on a couple of the recent fights, the Aldo fight and the Sandhagen-Dillashaw fight. And to sort of finish that question with, when you get the win on the fourth, where you think that puts you in the mix of things?
Yeah, the Aldo fight, he just, like, when I heard Aldo was going to bantamweight, I was one of those, I was like, God, he's going to struggle, because he's always, like, been known for struggling to make featherweight, and, you know, but he just seemed to, I don't know, he just seems to have reinvented himself. He looks, like, obviously he's a lot leaner now, and I don't doubt he has a tough weight cut, but when he's in there, like, three-round Aldo is a real dangerous fight for anyone. Maybe over fight, like you've seen in the Peter Yan fight, over 5 rounds, he started to tire a little bit. But that's always been Aldo. Even at featherweight, you know, he was never as dangerous in the fourth and fifth as he was the first three. And he's just not, like his last fight, I mean, the Marlon Vera fight, he won comfortably, but it was close. But like the last fight against a guy like Pedro, who's just so dangerous, you know, such a big dangerous for them calf kicks, he just neutralized everything he did. And his attacks were so sharp. I mean, I don't think there's anyone in the division, especially the top five at the minute, looking at Aldo thinking, you know, that'd be a nice fight for me to mark off a legend on my name, because he's capable of beating him up. Like, even you watch the first, like, 2.5 rounds against Jan, he looked good in stages, his low kick. You know, it wasn't all one-way traffic until the end of the fight. And I think a lot of that was down to tiredness. So, yeah, I think Aldo's a force to be reckoned with at bantamweight. He seems to be a different sort of level now to what he was towards the end. Not when he had the title, but after he took a few losses at featherweight, he looks way better now than what he did last going off at featherweight. And what was the other? Oh, TJ. TJ and Sandhagen.
Yeah.
I've only watched it once. I thought TJ did enough after watching it. But obviously, there's a lot of controversy. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have been, if they give it to Sandhagen, I wouldn't have screamed robbery. It was one of them. But I just thought, with sort of the clinch work and the control, I thought TJ did enough. I know Sandhagen did the more damage, landed the bigger shots, the more flashy shots, but I suppose it depends what a judge is looking for. Sometimes, I don't know what it is lately, people try to like discredit clinch control and grappling, I think, because people are throwing flying knees and landing these flashy shots, yet you can control a guy for like 2.5 minutes of a round and people don't really want to want to think that that scores, when in actual fact, obviously, it does. So I think,
but it only is that the thing, like, because we had Sean Sheehan on the show, because we've had this a lot as well with like fans and even ourselves and stuff, and you do start to disagree with the judging or whatever, but it is written in black and white. And we had Sean Sheehan on the show talking about this, that, you know, it is about damage, and only when the damage is equal do you then factor in the control and the clinch and all that stuff. I don't know that it necessarily should be that way or not, but that is the way that the criteria is written. But you're right, it does then lead, when people are aware of that, it does then lead to people to, as you say, slightly discredit that, those long periods of control, because as it is written, or at least it reads to me this way, is that if you're having a fight and 1 minute of that fight is you taking a decent amount of damage, but then you control the guy for 4 minutes, the other guy wins the round because it's about that damage. Do you think that's a problem with the judging? Should that be changed?
I think it can be. Again, it's horses for courses. At the same time, yeah, it's like, look at those Dillashaw and San Egan rounds. For a lot of it on the feet, I mean, I know I'm not a big TJ fan after what he's done, but for a lot of it on the feet, it was 50-50. All right, TJ was cut up and wearing a bit of damage. But in terms of actual damage towards the end of the fight, with, like, you know, they're going shot for shot, there's not a lot in it in the round. So for me, if I was judging a fight, even with the criteria as it is, if it was 50-50 on the feet, shot for shot, and then TJ sort of takes his back and controls him for 45 seconds to a minute, I would give the round to TJ.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it's if the damage is equal, and then that's when you factor in the control time. So for me, that's why I was scoring it to TJ. I do think it needs to be changed a little bit in terms of, like, because, like you said, if I go out and cause a lot of damage on a guy in 30 seconds and cut him up and land a 10-punch combo, if he takes me down for 4.5 minutes and it controls me and I can't get back to my feet, you know, how is that? No, that's him winning a round, in my opinion, because, you know, it's not just, I'm trying to think of a way to put it into words. We got to factor in that it is mixed martial arts, so we can't just factor in damage on the feet and discredit the grappling. If grappling is 90% of the round, but you've got damage for 10% of the round, then surely if you're in control for 90% of the round, you should win that round. And vice versa. If you hold the guy down for a minute and drop a load of elbows on him, but then he pops up and for the last 4.5 minutes of the round, he's sticking a jab and a low kick on you and you can't get near him, all right, he may not have caused as much damage as you did with the ground and pound, but surely he should win the round by being in control for more of the round. So it's a tough one. I think it's with MMA, because there's so many factors with the wrestling, the grappling, the striking, your clinch work. It's never going to be clear cut, I don't think, and unfortunately. But I think maybe they should do something in terms of more judges or former fighters being judges, perhaps that would sort of, I don't know, make the scoring of these fights a little bit easier. Like, I didn't see that fight as a robbery, but I have seen fights recently where you think, how have you scored it to him? You know, well, my last fight, like the one judge have scored two rounds to the guy I fought, and, you know, 99.999% of everyone online and that I know is saying, I just don't get it. Where when you're fighting for, if you win, you get double your money, or if you lose, you're going to lose out on half your money. It's a bit of a stinger if you get, well, swearing, if you get messed over by a judge who's not scoring the fight properly. But it is it's risky water, and it is a tough one. I don't think it'll ever be clear cut.
No, absolutely. And I think one of the other factors we have to consider is the sport is still so young. You know, there's a lot of growing and learning to on all sides.
If we look at boxing, they probably score a boxing fight now a lot different to what they did 100 years ago. So, you know, it's one of them, like you said, as the sport develops and as time moves on, obviously it'll more than likely become a little bit more clear cut in terms of judging and scoring.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form you're looking past the next opponent, but, you know, we're confident that W is coming your way, and with that in mind, like, where do you think that puts you in the mix of things?
I don't think it puts me into the rankings, but I think a good win, especially looking good, whether it be a dominant decision or hopefully a finish, I think it put me in a spot where I can plead my case for a fight with someone in the rankings. No, I'm not saying a top 10 or top 5, but those sort of 15, 14, 13s, those type of guys, I think I'm in the mix there, and I'd be 4-0 against good guys as well, all on winning records. And obviously, you know, as much slack as the British guys get, we do get a little bit tough. At the same time, they know they need British guys coming through. You know, they can't rely on Darren Till and Leon constantly. You know, we need other guys coming through. So I think he'll put me in a good spot. I know a lot of the guys in the division know about me now. They know when you're undefeated, you sort of carry that little bit extra, hype, I suppose, of you, where people like keep that steady eye on you because you've got an unbeaten record. So yeah, I think a win, especially in good fashion, puts me in a shot for someone in the rankings, or a shot against someone who's maybe not ranked but has got a good name for themselves.
I agree, mate. I think, you know, 4-0 in the UFC, being undefeated, you definitely deserve a ranked opponent after that, and that's what we'll be hoping that you get after September 4th, man.
Fingers crossed. Absolutely. Anyway, if not, we'll start a protest or something. I don't know. We'll do something.
We'll do it. I'll make signs, big signs. Yeah. Jack Shaw's on fire. Give him a ranked opponent. We'll get on it. We'll be backing you, mate. Don't worry.
Jack, we wish you all the best, mate, and hopefully we get to catch up with you after the fight at some point.
Yes, lad, definitely, definitely. Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure, gentlemen. Mate. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There you go, Jack Shaw. What a gent. Always a gent. And hopefully we'll get him back after he gets that W on the 4th. Smashing chat, right, Blake?
Oh, just a lovely bloke. And I loved his opinions on the judging. I disagreed with it. That's the beauty of MMA, is he thought Dillashaw won that fight. I thought Sandhagen won that fight. But it was definitely not in any way a robbery. If it went either way, I don't think. It was a very, very close fight. And that, I think, flags up how difficult judging is in a lot of ways. Because, you know, people have differing opinions on very close fights. So sometimes maybe we do need to cut the judges a little bit of slack, because it is a very hard job. But back to Jack, just a really nice bloke who I think can really go all the way. I mean, Nurmagomedov is a big challenge, as he pointed out. He's someone that you have to spend a little bit of extra time preparing for, because he does throw unique, flashy kind of spinning attacks and stuff like that. But I'm hoping Jack just does the business on September 4th.
Absolutely, he is a lovely bloke. But I'd be lying if I said it didn't freak me out a little bit when you disagreed with him about the judging, and obviously, you know, people can't see this, when he run his finger across his throat and mouthed the words "fuck you, Harrison." I thought that was pretty terrifying.
Well, yeah, I mean, you say people can't see this. Our plan is to stick this up on YouTube, not necessarily Absolutely. These bits. I don't know about the intros and outros, but not necessarily. So you might be able to go back and see Jack run his finger apparently across his throat, threatening to kill me. And just so you know, there is now visual evidence to stop Stu from slandering these poor fighters and these poor people. And I'm pretty sure that you've got a lawsuit coming your way, Stu.
It's coming my way. All right. Well, look, we'll be back soon with another fighter from the card. Thanks ever so much for listening. Massive thanks to 76 for producing these run of episodes for us. So big love to 76. And yeah, we're back next time, Blake.
We're back next time, but if you want to hear more from Jack Shaw, a little bit more about his, you know, reason, way he got into MMA, his thoughts on the fight game and all that kind of stuff that's not just geared towards this one opponent. If you want to know a bit more about Jack, his personality and what makes him tick, go and check out our old episode with Jack Shaw, which was a belter as well, where we really talked to him about how he got into MMA and what's led him to this point in his career.
Absolutely. And Welsh fighters as well. We've had a few on. Go listen to episodes with Brett Johns, Mason Jones.
Yes.
We'll just get stuck into the back catalogue full stop if this is your first time listening. Also, we're on the socials, so give us a like, love, share, retweet, and drop us a message on there.
Yeah. And if you like to give us a little rate and review, subscribes and all that on the podcast, and now I think hopefully the YouTubes. The YouTubes?
Yeah, mate.
The old YouTubes.
That's what the kids are calling it.
The YouTubes. we've been wrapping up this show for the last couple of minutes.
I tried to nip it in the bud about 2 minutes ago.
I know you did. I kept it going. I just want to see your lovely face. All right, guys. We will see you later.